Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to begin by quoting a scripture verse from the book of Hebrews. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with me throughout the show. This first scripture is from Hebrews 4:16. It talks about the grace and mercy of God. This show is all about the grace and mercy and goodness of God, His love and forgiveness. The fact that God is a loving God. He hates our sin, but He loves us. And He wants all of us to be with Him in heaven one day. This scripture again in Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16 talks about the grace and mercy of God. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Today again, I'd like to talk about something I've spoken about several times recently. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. I notice that many of us are suffering with allergies now, even during the summer season. And I hope you'll bear with me here. Getting back to the grace and mercy of the Lord, He tells us that we can come with confidence or with boldness to the throne of grace to ask Him for help, because He is always there waiting for us. He loves us and wants to help us. He's always waiting and ready to give us grace and mercy. And so there is always hope for us when we believe in and trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior and put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him. And so for so many of us, we reach points in our lives where we just think we can't take another step. We are so weary and worn out and just overburdened, overwhelmed with problems in life. And so many times we reach a point where we think there's just no hope. There's no way. For whatever it is, for whatever reason, the problems that we're struggling with, we just think there's nothing else that can be done. And we're just ready to quit and give up. But the Lord tells us not to do that, that we should come to Him, that those things that are impossible for us, He says those things that are impossible with man or possible with God. Nothing is impossible for God if it is not contrary to His will. We have to keep in mind that God is holy. He is holy. And He cannot look upon sin. He tells us in the Bible that when He forgives our sins, and He does forgive our sins when we come to Him, confess our sins and repent and ask for forgiveness, He forgives us. But then He casts our sins away and doesn't look upon them because He is holy and He doesn't hold our sins against us. He wants us to know there is always hope. He is the God of another chance and another chance and many, many chances. We need to learn from our chances and make the effort to stop committing the same sins, to stop making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and not just take the attitude that, oh, God is going to forgive me anyway so I can do whatever I want. That's the wrong attitude, of course. But He wants us to know that there is hope, and many times we have to suffer through the problems to learn from them. We have to live through them. But the Lord is always with us in the problems, in the trials. And He brings us through them. And once we do that, once He brings us through, once we endure through the problems, we become stronger because of it. We learn from the experience. We learn to endure. We learn to continue on and do what's necessary to get through the problems. Once we've done that, once the Lord brings us through those problems, sometimes He will take the problem away. It depends. And that's totally up to the Lord, of course. But once we come through on the other side, then we are in a position to help someone else who is suffering through the same thing. And so we can encourage them. And it's important to give our testimonies, to share our stories, to let other people know that there is hope. And the Lord tells us that we are to comfort others the way He comforts us. He is the God of all comfort. And I'd like to tell you about a gentleman, a pastor I've recently had the pleasure of meeting. His name is Larry, Pastor Larry Atkins. And he's broadcasting his own radio show, which he calls Tell Your Testimony for Him on Spreaker.com. And I'm sure you'll be hearing more about him. He's been broadcasting for about a year or longer. And he's looking for people to give their testimonies on his show on Spreaker. Not Speaker, but Spreaker.com. And again, of course, the reason to give your testimony is to encourage someone else and to give glory to God for bringing you through the problems that you have suffered. We know that in the Bible, if you've read the Bible, maybe you haven't read it yourself, but may have heard the account in church and Bible study, that even Peter, the Apostle Peter, failed and deserted the Lord, not once but three times, in rapid succession by disowning the Lord. He disowned Jesus when he was spotted following Jesus, when Jesus was arrested and about to be crucified, when someone recognized him as being one of Jesus' disciples, one of the apostles. He denied it three times. But he repented of that. He repented. He was sorrowful. And Jesus restored him and used him to help others, to witness to others, to encourage others, to teach others, to disciple others. The Lord doesn't throw us away. He doesn't discard us when we fail, when we fall in sin. He restores us. He forgives us and renews us. He can revive us and refresh us and use us in his service to bring glory to his name and to bring blessings to us and to those around us, to our families, our relatives, to friends, to others in church, to our church family, even to strangers, to other people that the Lord wants us to witness to. We don't have to be perfect, and of course we never can be perfect as long as we are here on the earth. But the Lord can still use us. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to serve him by helping others. So if you can share with someone else what the Lord has done for you, you will be serving the Lord. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. Is there someone you can find to witness to? If not a family member, then a stranger. Maybe a neighbor. It could be someone you work with. If you're a student, maybe someone with whom you attend classes. It could be someone you meet on the bus, at a bus stop. There are so many places that we encounter people we could talk to, share a few words with, and share the gospel story with. So many people say that, you know, we shouldn't talk about religion or politics. We should share our religion by example. But it's not all about religion. It is, however, about having a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do need to use words. None of us are perfect. Jesus can give a personal example, a perfect example. And he did. But none of us are perfect. So we do need to use words. There may be many times when we could give an example without speaking. But it's important to use words also. I wonder, have you thought much about your story? It doesn't have to be a fantastic tale. It can be very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated at all. And you don't have to tell all of your personal business. Very simply, you can tell someone what the Lord has done for you. You can say what your life was like before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, and what it's like now. Was there something you were afraid of before you knew the Lord? And have you overcome that? Has the Lord helped you through that problem? Has he taken away that fear, or has he given you a means to deal with it, to keep it under control? Was there something a bad habit or an addiction that was just out of control. If it wasn't drugs or alcohol or some other type of abuse, a sexual addiction or gambling, something of that nature. Maybe you were overeating. Do you know someone who has had a problem of overeating or eating the wrong types of foods? Someone who was addicted to smoking cigarettes, whatever the case might be. Could it be a problem with pornography? That seems to be an absolute epidemic nowadays, even for teenagers and in some cases for young children. Is that something that you find you've been able to bring under control since you have come to know the Lord? And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you thought about doing that? Do you realize that there is nothing in this life the Lord Jesus cannot take care of for us? There's nothing that he can't help us with, and there's nothing that we can really do on our own. You might think, well, I work and I pay my way through life. I don't need God for anything. But if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have a job. You wouldn't be able to work. You wouldn't have money or a home or a car or anything else. We wouldn't have any of those things. Because the Lord God created everyone and everything. He owns all of it. And one day, all of those things, including the money, all of it is going to burn along with everything else when the world ends. All of us are going to die one day. No one's going to live forever, not on earth. The Lord tells us in the Bible, the world will end. There will be a new earth and a new heaven. When we die, our souls will live on. And there are only two places we can go. Our souls will either live on with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, or our souls will be separated from him forever, for all eternity. And if we're not with God, we'll be with Satan, with the devil. That may be very difficult for some people to imagine. And whether or not we believe that hell is a lake of fire, it certainly is not going to be a pleasant place. Heaven, for anyone who believes in heaven, we all believe, all of us who believe that there is a heaven, we believe it's a glorious place, not only a happy place, but a place of great joy. And so for as good and joyful as heaven will be, I imagine, I'm quite sure that hell will be equally as bad, as horrible, as heaven is good and wonderful and joyful. And so I want to get back to the fact that as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, as Jesus tells us in the Bible, that he is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. And there's nothing we can do on our own to get to heaven. That salvation is a gift from God. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith. By the grace of God, our faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. There's nothing we can do here to earn it. We can never find our way there. And for those people who say that whatever God we worship, we're all worshiping the same God, that is not true. Jesus Christ is the only true God. He's the only one who died on that cross to pay the debt for our sins. And He rose again from the dead. Excuse me. And in doing that, He gave us the hope for eternal life. The Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. The Jesus of the Mormons is not the God of the Bible. They don't believe that He is God. The first thing to do, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night, is to be born again. We need to be born again in the Spirit. We need to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Again, He said that He is the only way. Jesus is the only way to the Father and the only way to heaven. We're living in what is called a fallen world because Adam and Eve fell from grace. They were only human, just as we are. So along with their sin came into the world sickness, illness, disease, all of those things. And we are just bombarded by temptations to sin, temptations which come from Satan, the evil one, the devil. The same one who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He tempted Eve. She fell to sin. And Adam right along with her. And they had a chance to repent of their sin, but they hid from God instead of readily confessing their sins. When God came walking in the garden, asking where they were, they didn't come out right away and confess their sin to Him. They were ashamed and they felt guilty. They never felt ashamed or guilty before. But of course, once they sinned, listening to the serpent, the devil, Satan, then they had guilt, they had shame, so they hid from God. Sin does that. It separates us from God, creates guilt and shame. We have the same problem today. But He tells us to confess our sins directly to Him, repent of our sins, and He forgives us. God is a good and loving God, and He is faithful. We bring condemnation on ourselves. God doesn't condemn us. And so we need to let other people know that. That God is a good and loving God. He wants to forgive us. And every day that we wake up, every morning when we wake up, we can have a fresh start with God. He gives us a fresh start every morning. The Bible tells us that His grace and tender mercies are fresh and new every morning. In Ecclesiastes 3, He tells us that. We need to let people know so that they can have hope and not give up. So many people in their own lives, because they lose hope, they take their own lives, actually commit suicide. they burn out and lose hope. If we know the Lord, if we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him, we have something to hold on to. We have hope for the future. And He gives us strength when we confess our sins and repent and ask Jesus, when we call on His name and ask Him to forgive us and to be Lord and Savior of our lives. He sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to be our comforter, our teacher, and our guide, to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. He says He will instruct us in the way that we should go. He tells us that. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. He tells us that over and over again. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Have you ever read Psalm 32:8? Have you ever read the Psalms? Have you ever heard the Psalms? If you've never read the Bible, I hope that you will do that. The first thing to do is to repent of your sins. Call on the name of Jesus. Confess to Him, admit to Him that you are a sinner, just as we all are, so am I. Each one of us is a sinner, and when we know that we have sinned, we need to confess our sins directly to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive us. He is the one who died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins. He is the one who's going to judge us. He is the one who's going to judge sinners. And He is the one who's going to reward His followers, His children, those who receive Him and serve Him and follow Him, those who live for Him. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll take it out and follow along with me. I do want to read Psalm 32, and I'll give you time to do that. If you have a Bible, will you get it and please take it out and find your place, Psalm 32 in the Bible, and read along with me. And at the end of that, I'd like to say a prayer and invite anyone who would like to say the prayer, to pray along with me. If you have never prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, I hope you will pray along with us. Do you have your Bible ready? Okay. I want to say a short prayer first. Before we read, again, I'm going to read Psalm 32 tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to please empty us of ourselves here, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Please fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. Please help us understand your Holy Scriptures, Lord, and apply them to our daily lives. And we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Okay, here now is Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. That was Psalm 32. I'd like to read verse 8 and 9 again, which says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Have you ever behaved like a horse or like a mule? I'm sure that I have. I'm sure that I've been really stubborn. I know that I was a complainer all my life. I know that I lived in fear all my life. I'm still not the bravest person, but before I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I just lived day and night in fear. I was always afraid of so many things. And I was very stubborn also. I have to say that I'm not as afraid as I used to be, and I try not to be as stubborn as I used to be. I'm more open-minded. I'm more considerate of other people and their opinions. I'm more willing to accept advice, to consider advice. I'm more willing to seek counsel. And I certainly seek the Lord's counsel. I spent my whole life praying. I prayed morning, noon, and night. But I've learned that I need to search the scriptures also. So I spend a lot more time reading the Bible and asking the Lord, seeking the Lord's counsel. And letting him calm my fears so that I'm not so devastated by fear as I used to be before I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. If you have never asked Jesus to be your personal Savior, I invite you to pray along with me now, to ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus came preaching repentance, and so did John the Baptist. Jesus says that we should confess our sins to him, repent of them, ask for forgiveness, and repent of our sins. Receive him as Savior by faith that he is the Lord. Trust by faith that he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, that he rose again from the dead, that he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, that he is actually God. And we will be with him in heaven. Can you pray that from your heart? Can you trust by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, just as you trust so many other things by faith in this life. When you turn the key in your car and expect the engine to start. When you sit on a chair without thinking that it's going to hold you up, you don't worry about whether the legs are going to fall off the chair or not. That's faith and so many other things in this life. And God created your car. He created the chairs that you sit on. Will you trust by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on that cross and paid the debt for your sins? Will you call on the name of Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins? If you will and you would like to receive him as your Savior, will you pray this prayer along with me? I invite you to pray now to receive Jesus as your Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. I realize that I don't know how to get to heaven on my own. I know that I can't. So I confess to you, Lord Jesus, that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins, understanding that to repent means that I need to make a change. I need to turn around, turn away from my old way of life, from my sins, and turn to you. I trust by faith, Lord Jesus, that you are Lord, that you are God, that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins. I trust by faith that you paid the debt for my sins in full, and that you died, you rose again from the dead, and that you live in heaven, that you are seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and that you live in the hearts of those who follow you, who receive you as Savior. I believe that you rose again from the dead, and in doing so, you give us the hope of eternal life. And I want to be with you in heaven when I die. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus, so I ask you to be my Savior. And I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer earnestly from your heart, you can be sure that you will be with Jesus in heaven when you die. Now what you should do, since you've received Jesus as your Savior, and that's a free gift, knowing that there was nothing you could do to get salvation on your own, since you want to live for Jesus, what you should do is join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Go to church and be in fellowship. Be in the company of other people who are born again in Christ Jesus. Other believers, followers of Jesus Christ, worshiping him and praising him in church. Learning more about him. Join a Bible study. Be part of the church family. Encourage others. Get to know people in the church. Serve the Lord with them. Tell other people about Jesus. Help others to know the Lord. Join a small group, which is a Bible study, and be in fellowship. It means to be in the company of other people. Make friends with other people who are following the Lord. Share with them. Share your life with them. Help each other. And again, tell others what you have done. Tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved also. Share your testimony. Share your story. You don't have to tell all of your personal business. Tell them how you were suffering before you became born again, before you gave your heart to the Lord, before you became a believer. Read the Bible every day. Pray to the Lord every day. You just pray to him when you confessed your sins and asked him to be your Savior. Pray to him every day and read the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God to us. read it and ask His Holy Spirit to help you understand it and do what it says. And I want to repeat that it's important to join a Bible study and be with other people in church. Talk about the Lord. Share your lives with them. And tell other people how they can come to know the Lord. Jesus came making disciples, telling people to repent and be saved, to confess their sins and repent, to follow Him, and tell other people to do the same. He discipled people, trained them, and taught them to disciple others, and we are to do the same. He told us to share the good news of the gospel with other people all over the world. And that is not just for pastors and priests and rabbis. That is called the Great Commission, and that is for each and every one of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to tell others all around the world, but we're to begin at home with our own families, with our neighbors, with those across the street, with people we meet wherever we go. And if people don't want to receive us, if they don't want to receive the Word of God, well, we can't force them, right? But we make the effort, and we try. And if they, who knows, if they don't listen to you, maybe tomorrow or 1 month from now or 1 year from now or 10 years from now, maybe when another person shares with them, they may be ready the next time. Who knows what will happen in the interim? The next time someone else shares with them, they may be ready to hear. And at that time, they may receive the Lord. You might plant the seed. So, think about that, would you? And think about those people whom you know who need to receive the Lord. Think about all those people whom you love. Don't you want to see your family members, your friends, all of those people you love and care about, don't you want to see them in heaven? Please share. It can be very difficult. Sometimes it's easier to speak to strangers than it is to speak to your family, because they know us, right? They know us. Our families know who we are. They know where we've been. They know all of the problems of our lives. Many of our secrets. Sometimes our family members know all of our secrets. Do you have shameful secrets? All of us have those. Sometimes it can be very difficult to share our testimonies. But the Lord tells us we need to give of ourselves to others, share ourselves with others, share love, give love, encourage others. And once we receive Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. He may give us one or several. And once we find out what those are, we are to use them to help other people. He tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who gives the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides which gifts to give to each of us. And they're not for our personal use, but they are for the edification of the body, which means they are to use, they're to be used to encourage the church members, the members of the body, the members of the church. And so he might give us the gift of teaching. He might call you to be a teacher, a pastor. There are many gifts that the Holy Spirit can give. He might call you to be an encourager. He might call you to be a giver. And so whatever it is, other people may see that gift in you before you realize it. So it's important to be in church and to share with other people, to become members of the group, the church family, get to know each other so that other people can become familiar with you, your personality, your gifts and talents and skills, and they can let you know you are good at this or you are good at that. You have a great gift in this or that or whatever the case may be. You can use that doing this or helping there, serving in this way or witnessing in that way. And so you could be a very valuable you could be very valuable to the church in different ministries, serving in different ways, inside and outside of the church, even in your work or in your education. And so it's very important, again, to be present in the church and doing whatever you can there. So please share your testimony with other people. And as I said, you can be very discreet. You can share as little or as much as you like. Think about what you want to say before divulging all of your personal information. But you can share things that can be so helpful to other people, whether you were living in fear or whether you were living with the terrible addictions that the Lord delivered you from, whatever the case might be. Maybe you were feeling very inferior. Maybe you had a terrible learning disability or that held you back in so many ways, and maybe the Lord just took it away and brought about a great change and lifted a heavy burden from you and helped you to excel in your work or in your education. Whatever the case may be, you can use that story to relate to someone else who is going through the same thing, and you may never know. The person next to you may be going through the same problem, and you might share your story in a casual conversation, and that person may break down in tears because they're experiencing the same thing now, but you might be able to help them through it. You would be surprised how many times people are helped just by hearing someone else's story. It can have really, it can have such a great effect on someone else's life. So I encourage you to tell other people and remember to tell them about Jesus and what he's done for you. Tell them how they can receive the Lord, how they can become born again in the Spirit in Christ Jesus, and then you should be baptized also. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven, but it's a sign to show that you have become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so until next time, I pray that you come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you'll listen again. This is the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez, and I hope you'll listen again on Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, this is the Sword and Shield Show. May God bless and keep you. Please tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. Thank you. Remember, read your Bible and tell others about Jesus. Share your testimony. Tell your story and encourage others to tell people about Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you and may God bless you. Bye.